الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we have begun reading the narration of Abdullah bin Amr رضي الله عنهما, and he's narrating on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه, that Abu Bakr, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked him to teach him a supplication that he can supplicate with in his salah and likewise in his home. And we have seen that in the prayer there are two places for a Muslim to supplicate in, any from the affairs of this life and the hereafter, and for him to supplicate as he likes. Who can remind us of those two places? No. Ahsanta, jazakallah khaira. In the sujood, and likewise before taslim, after as-salawat al-ibrahimiyyah. These are the places for supplication. These are the places in the prayer that a believer will take advantage of in supplication. As for after the salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah, then this is the issue that we're discussing. And the evidence for that is in the hadith that we have been studying, from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and the end of that, فَلِتَخَيَّرْ مِنَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ مَا شَاءَ. Then let him choose from the supplications that which he wills, and after this, meaning before the taslim. As for the sujood, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدْ. That the nearest a slave he will be to his Lord is while he is in sujood. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَمَّا الرُّكُوعُ فَعَظِّمُوا فِيهِ الرَّبَّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَأَمَّا السَّجُودُ فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِي الدُّعَاءِ فَقَامِنٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ فَقَامِنٌ أَنْ يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as for while you're in the ruku', then magnify and glorify the praises of the Lord عَزَّ وَجَلْ, and while you're in sujood. And as for while you're in sujood, then strive hard in supplication. So it is most rightful that you will be responded to, and the supplication will be responded to in this humble and noble position of prostration. So these are the places in the prayer. So this supplication here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, could be in one of these two places. From the arrangement and the order of the author, it's apparent that he's of the opinion that the best place for this supplication is after as-salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah and before the taslim. And likewise, this is along with what al-Imam al-Bukhari, he had mentioned in his authentic collection of narrations. Whenever he narrated this hadith, he said, بَابٌ الدُّعَاء قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ. بَابٌ الدُّعَاء قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ. Al-Bukhari, في صحيح البخاري, whenever he narrated this narration in the book of Salat, he mentioned the chapter entitled Supplication Before the Salam. And then he narrated this narration. An indication likewise that that's the understanding of al-Imam al-Bukhari as well, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the place for this supplication here, the supplication that is in the hadith that we're studying, hadith Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu, it should be after the tashahud and before the salam. And Allah knows best. If he mentioned it likewise in the sujood, it's okay. It's okay, alhamdulillah. But this is the understanding here of al-Imam al-Bukhari, and likewise what is apparent from the understanding of the author and his arrangement. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ, say, يعني Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, say, O Abu Bakr, اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. Oh Allah, Allahumma, yani oh Allah, yani ya Allah, Allahumma, it means ya Allah. So this is a supplication here in itself, to call on Allah, to call on Allah. Whenever a person, he says Allahumma, or whenever he says ya Allah with his tongue, His heart should be directed to Allah Azza wa Jal. His heart should be directed to Allah Azza wa Jal and devoted. يتجه قلبه إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. His heart will be directed and devoted to Allah. Allahumma. At this time, Ya Allah. When a believer, he says this, he says it with his tongue, but his heart likewise is calling on Allah. Allahumma. إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا. Oh Allah, verily I have oppressed my own soul with much oppression. With much oppression. The people of knowledge, they mention linguistically the word ظلم, it means وَضُعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهِ. وَضُعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهِ. To put something in a place that it does not deserve or belong. To put something in a place it does not deserve or belong. In its improper place. And the greatest ظلم is a shirk. And has come in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. That verily the shirk, it is a great oppression. And likewise, the mushrik, he is considered ظالم. He's considered ظالم. The one who is mushrik, we call him ظالم. And he an oppressor. And he is in an act of oppression. And this is because ibadah is the right of Allah. And he placed that ibadah in a place it does not deserve by directing it to other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So from this aspect, the mushrik, he is a zalim. لَنَّهُ وَضَعَ الْعِبَادَةَ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهَا وَهَذَا ظُلْمٌ. And this is ظُلْم. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They didn't oppress us, but they oppressed their own souls. So the oppression here is against one's own soul likewise. So the greatest of that is shirk. The greatest of that is shirk. And after that, ظُلْم النَّفْس. ظُلْمُ النَّفْس. That a person, he will oppress his own soul between him and Allah with actions of disobedience. From beginning with the worst of them, yani the innovations. And then after that, the major sins. And the likes like this. This is all ظُلْم. And this is all oppression. And this is all foul and evil. And then after that, there is ظُلْمُ الظُلْمُ الَّذِي يَكُونُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ. Oppression between the slaves, yani in shedding blood, or in disrespecting one's honor and reputation, or in taking one's right and violating one's right unlawfully in his wealth or in his property or in his body, and the likes like this. This is also ظلم. This is also ظلم. So this is the issue here. And Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned rahimahullah at-tahqiq anna ظلم النفس جنس عام يتناول كل ذنب يتناول كل ذنب. That yani oppressing one's soul is a general affair, and it consists of every sin. And even if a person he made shirk, he's oppressing his own soul. In disbelief, he's oppressing his own soul. In innovation and misguidance, we're falling into major sins or minor sins. The one who is performing that, he's only oppressing his own soul. If he harmed others, took their rights unlawfully, and violated their rights, he's only harming his own soul. It is his own soul that takes the cost of this, and that is affected by this, and that will be punished for this and held accountable for this. So all of it is considered yani from this aspect. So here we see the issue of a person knowing who he is, knowing that he is a slave, and knowing that he has a Lord, and knowing that he has a creator and a sustainer and a provider, and knowing that the Lord Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has commandments and prohibitions, and he has limits that have been set. And knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal, he is merciful and the most gracious and the most kind, and he is the one providing for the bounties and the blessings, and he is the one giving the good of the health and the wealth and the prosperity and the safety and the security. And this is all from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he has limits. And he has limits that must be established and that must not be perpetrated or surpassed or violated. Any limits that one must abide by the obligations and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in which is incumbent upon a person to perform, and also limits that one must not transgress, and boundaries that one must not go beyond, And a believer, a Muslim, he knows these affairs, and whenever he falls short, he realizes these affairs, and he has remorse in his heart, and he has sadness in his heart for disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal, and he comes to Allah with repentance, in this manner, he can have much good. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You say, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Oh Allah, I have oppressed my own soul with much oppression. And he meaning, I'm an abd, I'm a slave, and you're my Lord, and you're my creator. You're the Khaliq, and I'm the makhluq, and you're the Rabb, and I'm the marbub, and you're the true God, al-ilahu al-haq, and I am the abd, and you are perfect in your beautiful names and attributes, and in your essence and in your life, and I am deficient and I am weak, and you are providing for me with blessings and sending them upon me daily, and I am sending up to you my deficiencies and my sins and my shortcomings. Therefore forgive me. Therefore forgive me. So here we see that the first principle is that a person, he must know who he is. He must know who he is, that he is a creation, that he is a creation, and that he is a slave. And then from this he realizes that he has a creator, and he has a Lord, and he has a Lord. These are the usul that one must have for success. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. All of this is likewise in the Fatiha. In the Fatiha, knowing the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and his greatness and his virtue and his bounty and his blessing, and knowing oneself likewise that he is a slave. That he's a slave. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathiran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. And no one forgives the sins except for you. This is tawheed here. No one forgives the sins except for you. And you, O Allah, are the only one who forgives the sins. You, O Allah, is the only one who has the ability to forgive and to pardon the sins. And this is your right alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a confession. Also, knowing who Allah is, that Allah alone, He is the one who forgives sins. So the person, he will never go to a man for the forgiveness of his sins, or go through the awliya, or the people in the graves and the likes like this, seeking forgiveness of his sins, or having a mediator. Rather, this is tawheed. The one who forgives sins alone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody else. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And no one forgives the sins except for you. No one forgives the sins except for you. So here we have the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's teaching us to, before we supplicate, to confess ourselves and our weaknesses and our deficiencies. And likewise to confess the greatness of Allah and His bounty and His majesty. And then after that, you ask for what you want. And then after that, you ask for what you want. Like here, after this he says to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faghfirli maghfiratan min indika. وَرْحَمْنِي فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَرْحَمْنِي. So therefore forgive me. So therefore forgive me. Oh Allah, I have oppressed my soul with much oppression, with great oppression. And no one forgives the sins except for you. Therefore forgive me. Therefore forgive me. Then this is what he's asking for. All of this before what was an introduction. Confessing one's sins and one's deficiency and one's weakness. Confessing the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and His power and His authority and His oneness, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and His lordship, and likewise in His dominion and His kingdom over His slaves, that He is the only one who forgives sins, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then after that, presenting the request, Faghfili, then forgive me, so therefore forgive me. Al Ghufran, yani Satr al Dhanb, to cover the sin, yani Al Mujawaza wa Adam al Mu'akha, that Allah, He will cover the sin. He will cover the sin. He will pardon it, forgive it, and He will not take the person accountable for it. This is what al-maghfirah is. So this is what he's teaching him to seek here in this manner. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faghfirli maghfiratan min indika warhamni. Forgive me forgiveness from you. Yani maghfiratan min indika. A forgiveness that is from you. Yani from your bounty and from your grace. A forgiveness that I cannot seek it by way of my actions. Yani my weakness and my deficiencies doesn't reach yani this affair, but you are the one who forgives. So therefore forgive me forgiveness from you. You are the one who forgives, and you are the one who has the authority and the command. And as for me, my actions, they are deficient, and they do not reach that level. And I'm seeking for your bounty, and I'm seeking for your blessing, and I'm seeking for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. Although my actions are not good enough, but still forgive me forgiveness from you. Yani, have mercy on me, show me kindness. Yani, overlook my faults. Maghfiratan min indika. Maghfiratan min indika. Warhamni, warhamni, and show mercy to me. Yani, adkhilni fi rahmatika. Yani, admit me into your mercy. Admit me into your mercy. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that whenever they're coupled together like this, al-maghfira and al-rahma, seeking maghfira and rahma, that maghfira at this time would be intending to have the previous sins removed and forgiven and pardoned. And the rahma would be to have success in the future, to do good, and to have success in the future, to stay away from the sins, or to have success in the future to continue upon sincere repentance and tawbah and seeking forgiveness and the likes like this. So this is a great supplication to ask for forgiveness and mercy. And then after this, in this manner, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught him to say, innaka anta al-ghafurur rahim. Verily, you are the most forgiving and the most merciful. And this is an example of the application of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. That verily, the most beautiful names, they belong to Allah. All of the most beautiful names, they belong to Allah. So therefore, call on Him by way of them. This is an example of that. How to call on Allah by way of His names. That one, he will present a request and a need. And then after that, he will follow that up with mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla that is suitable. By mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla that is suitable according to that request. Here the request is for forgiveness and for mercy. It's for maghfirah and for rahmah. So therefore it's closed with innaka anta al-ghafuru ar-rahim. So if a believer, he's looking for bounties and blessings, and he's looking for the affairs of the dunya and the likes like this, he can call on Allah by a number of names. From them Ar-Razzaq, and from them Al-Wahhab, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the one who bestows, and the one who provides, the provider. And if one is feeling weak, he will call on Allah by Al-Qawi, Qawini, strengthen me. Strengthen me, oh, the most strong, in this manner like this. Provide for me, Ya Razzaq, the one who is the provider of the heavens and the earth. In this manner, a believer, he will choose and select the names and attributes that are suitable to the supplication that he is making. In this manner, when he calls on Allah by with his beautiful names. And that is the case here in this narration. So from the benefits of this narration, we see that it's legislated, that the supplication is legislated in the prayer. And that would either be in the sujood or in the tashahud. And as has preceded the position of Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and likewise the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, as is apparent from his arrangement, that it's in the tashahud. And likewise from the benefits of this narration is that one, he must know himself and who he is, and know his creator and who he is. Know that his self by his weaknesses and his deficiency and his needs, and know his creator by his perfection and his bounty and his blessing and the fact that he needs nothing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is worthy of praise, worthy of all praise and free of all needs, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And likewise to know that one, he has sins, and that one, he oppresses his own soul with actions of disobedience, and that he is in need of the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will ask Allah for this. And also from the benefits of this narration, we see from the manners of dua is that before one, he asks for his request, he will present an introduction before that, and he mentioning his weakness and mentioning the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he will request what his heart desires. And also from the benefits of this narration, we see that one will call on Allah and ask for his request and follow up that request, mentioning the names of Allah Azza wa Jalla that are suitable for that which he's looking for. The issue of al-maghfirah, yani, is an amazing affair, and how it's coupled with tawheed in many places in the Quran and in the Sunnah. They come coupled in more than one text. And from that, what Allah has mentioned in His book, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. You must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. And seek forgiveness for your sins. And we see the issue of Tawheed coupled with al-istighfar. Maybe sometimes now, this issue here is presented, try to ponder and think of this in the supplications in the day and in the night, or in the recitation of the Quran. You will find this affair coupled like this in many of the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. The issue of it, Tawheed, coupled with istighfar. Coupled with istighfar. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he has some beneficial statements about this affair, and this is in Majmu' al-Fatawa, the collection of his fatawa in volume number 11 on page 696. We read some of these benefits with regards to al-istighfar and the reality of al-istighfar and the benefit of al-istighfar. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that istighfaru yukhriju al-abda min al-fi'li al-makruhi ila al-fi'li al-mahbub. And these are points here. We can take them one by one. He's mentioning them in a context, but each one of them is a very beautiful benefit. That al-istighfar, what is al-istighfar? Talabu al-maghfira, seeking forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness, huh? Talabu al-maghfira. Seeking forgiveness. Who is that from? From Allah alone. You seek forgiveness from Allah alone. Naam. So it says al-istighfar yukhrijul abda min al-fi'l al-makruh ila al-fi'l al-mahbub. That by way of istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, this takes the slave. It takes the person out of the disliked action. The action that is disliked into an action that is praiseworthy. This is what istighfar does. A person, he'll fall into sin. The sins are things that will earn him the anger of Allah, and the actions that are disliked and impermissible. How does he get out of that? We can think of the sins, they're like a hole, a black hole, a filthy hole. A believer, he slipped and fell in that hole. Should he have despair? He can get out easy. How does he get out of that filthy hole into the beloved realm of the pleasure of Allah and His mercy? Al-istighfar. That's what he's saying. Al-istighfar. Al-istighfar takes the person from the situation that is detestable and the situation that is disliked, and meaning a situation that would earn a person the anger of Allah and His punishment. It takes him from that situation to a praiseworthy and a beloved situation, and into a situation that is beloved, meaning where Allah will love him, where Allah will love him and be pleased with him. And this is a great benefit. This is a great benefit, that by istighfar, one can go from the anger of Allah to His pleasure with sincere seeking forgiveness and repentance. Number one, he says, وَمِنَ الْعَمَلِ النَّاقِسِ إِلَى الْعَمَلِ التَّامِ. And it also takes him from the deficient action into a complete action. From a deficient action to a complete action. And we see the wisdom now by seeking forgiveness after the salawat, al-khams. And after the obligatory prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would seek forgiveness immediately. And this is what he's referring to here, that it will take a person from a state where he is that he's disliked to a state that he's beloved. Also, it will take him out of a state where he had performed actions that are deficient and that have weaknesses in them. Maybe he was heedless. For example, maybe he's not sinning or committing a sin. Maybe he was performing an action of worship, but he did it with negligence, or he did it with heedlessness, or he had been overcome by the whispers of the soul or of the shaitan, until he forgot what he's reciting or forgot what he's doing and the likes like this, and he was negligent in his prayer. By seeking forgiveness truthfully and sincerely, it takes him out of that deficient action into a complete action, and he's perfecting his deed. This is a means to rectify that. So al-istighfar has these benefits here. وَيَرْفَعُ الْعَبْدَ مِنَ الْمَقَامِ الْأَدْنَى إِلَى الْأَعْلَى مِنْهُ. And it raises the person. It raises the person from the lower level to a level that is higher than that. No matter what level a person was before he made istighfar, after he made istighfar, he'll be higher. If a person, he wants to have a high rank and lofty status with Allah and be close to Him and near to Him, then he should make al-istighfar. He'll make istighfar. He will ask for forgiveness for his sins and for his deficiencies. And the one who makes istighfar, and he realizes that he has a Lord, and he realizes that he himself has deficiencies, and he did not fulfill the rights of his Lord. So this is the reality of istighfar. It's not just saying, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Yes, you say that, astaghfirullah, but you mean it with your heart. Meaning, oh Allah, you have provided for me, and you have given me so much, and I have fallen short in showing thanks. And I have even transgressed those limits, and I have done what you have told me not to do. I have done what you have told me not to do, and that what you have ordered me to do, I have fallen short in that. Therefore, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Don't take me to account for that. Don't take me to account for that. Forgive me. Cover that. Don't expose me. And don't punish me for this. This is the meaning of istighfar. So in this manner, it also raises a person. It also raises the person from the status, whatever status rank he was in, it raised him to a higher status than that. وَيَعْرَفَهُ الْعَبْدَ مِنَ الْمَقَامِ الْأَدْنَى إِلَى الْأَعْلَى مِنْهُ وَالْأَكْمَلِ. So it raises the person from a lower level to a level that is higher than that and more complete. A level that is higher than that and more complete. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam كان يستغفر الله ويتوب إليه أكثر من 70 مرة في كل يوم. And it has come like this. In some narrations, أكثر من 100 مرة في كل يوم. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to seek forgiveness. He make istighfar and then ask for repentance, tawbah, from Allah azza wa jalla more than 70 times in one day. In one narration, more than 100 times. What is intended by that? A number of times, many times. Many times. His tongue and his heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're accustomed to this affair. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. This is something that he's accustomed to. And this is because he is one who reflects, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reflecting on this life and the world around him, and realizing the blessings of Allah and his bounties upon him. And from the greatest of all bounties, the bounties of knowledge. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah, he said to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he taught you that which you did not know, and the grace of your Lord is great upon you. And referring to the issue of knowledge, referring to the issue of knowledge, the knowledge of the greatness of Allah and his tawheed, and the knowledge of his legislation and the path that leads to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from there, looking at the world around him and how it's all subjected to him and to his benefit. To him and to his benefit. Yani, a believer, he will find much good. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam now, he says, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ الْعَابِدَ الْوَرْشِبُ لِلَّهِ وَالْعَارِفِ فَإِنَّ الْعَابِدَ لِلَّهِ وَالْعَارِفَ بِاللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمِ بَلْ فِي كُلِّ سَاعَةٍ بَلْ فِي كُلِّ لَحْظَةٍ يَزْدَادُ عِلْمًا بِاللَّهِ وَبَصِيرَةً بِدِينِهِ وَعُبُودِيَتِهِ بِحَيْثُ يَجِدُ ذَلِكَ فِي طَعَامِهِ وَشَرَابِهِ وَنَوْمِهِ وَيَقَظَتِهِ وَقَوْلِهِ وَفِعْلِهِ وَيَرَى تَقْصِيرَهُ فِي حُضُورِ قَلْبِهِ فِي الْمَقَامَاتِ الْعَالِيَةِ وَإِطَائِهَا حَقَّهَا فَهُوَ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى اسْتِغْفَارِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ وَإِطَاءَ حَقَّهَا. So he says, rahimahullah, so the person who is a true devout servant to Allah, worshiper, and the one who has the true and correct knowledge of Allah, every single day, rather every single hour, rather every single moment, he is increasing in knowledge of Allah. Every single day, he said, no, rather every single hour, no, rather every single moment, he is increasing in knowledge of Allah. And in inside, in his religion, and in his servitude and submission to him, until he sees these affairs in his food, and in his drink, and in his sleep, and in his awakeness and alertness, and in his statements and in his actions. And likewise, he sees his own deficiency in the presence of his heart, in establishing the lofty and the high ranks of worship, and giving them their rights. And so this is the issue here. That a person who truly reflects and realizes the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will see the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every affair. In every affair. He will see the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal in his food and in his drink. And he will ponder over these affairs and think deeply and reflect upon them, and he will benefit and it will draw him close to Allah. فَلْيَنْظُرُ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَى طَعَامِ أَنَّ صَبَبَنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّهِ ثُمَّ شَقَقَنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّهِ فَانْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّةً وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبَةً وَزَيْتُونًا وَنَخْلًا وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّةً. سبحان الله. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَى طَعَامِي. Let the human being look at his food. Let the human being look at his food. That we send the rain from the sky and it's pouring. Look at his food. We're talking about food now, huh? What type of food do you like? All types of vegetables and crops and all types of fruits and herbs and all types of meat that is fresh and delicious. And likewise, the flesh of the bird and also the fish in the seas. Let the human being look at his own food that he eats. أَنَّ صَبَبَنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ ثُمَّ شَقَقَنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ. We send the rain down from the sky pouring, and then we cause the earth to split, and we bring out from there all these different crops and herbs and fruits and grapes. And all of them are different flavors, and some of them are sweet and some of them are bitter. And they all have great nourishment and benefit. And they're delightful to look at and to eat. They're delightful to look at and to eat. And they're beneficial for you and for your cattle. For you and for your cattle. And this is an amazing affair. This is a provision we can't live without. And it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the heavens and to the earth. And it comes up from the earth, all for us to benefit from. So believer, he will find the greatness of Allah and the bounty of Allah and the blessing of Allah in his food. And his food and in his self. And his drink likewise. This is what he's mentioning here. And he will increase an insight in his deen. And he would increase in true sincere servitude and worship and love for his Lord. And he by these affairs. What does a person say whenever he eats, after he eats? Alhamdulillah. And then what else? That's the minimum, huh? Alhamdulillah. Praise Allah. Thank Him. Huh? Alhamdulillah. Alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. All praises to Allah, the one who has provided this for me without any power or authority or any strength from me whatsoever. It is Allah, He's providing this food. Allah, He's providing this food. And He feeds and He's not fed. And He doesn't ask for provision from us. He doesn't need us. Whether we're the ones who benefit from the worship if we worship Him. So this is the issue here. So whenever a believer, he looks into these affairs, he will realize the greatness of Allah and the bounty of Allah, and then his own weakness and likes and the likes like this, and he will seek forgiveness from Allah. And he will humble himself before Allah. And this is the case. There's another supplication, if I remember, it's from Abu Ayyub in Sunan Abi Dawood. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'ama wa saqa wa ja'ala lahu makhraja. Alhamdulillah alladhi at'ama wa saqa wa ja'ala lahu makhraja. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has fed and has given drink and has provided a means for that to be relieved. Has provided a means for that to be relieved. And not only did Allah Azza wa Jalla make this food beautiful and tasty, and this drink and the likes like this, also He has made a way for it to leave, and that which is not beneficial from it to be relieved and to go away. And so this is from the supplications the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would make whenever he's eating or after he eats. And alhamdulillah alladhi at'ama wa saqa wa ja'ala lahu makhraja. This is also from the supplications of eating. Then before nawm, then before sleeping, one will say again while he's laying down on his side, ready to go to bed at the end of the night, after he has ate and after he has drank and after he has went about through the daytime and the nighttime, and he has taken care of his affairs and he has benefited from his livelihood in that day and the likes like this, then he will say, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani wa saqani wa kafani wa awani fa kam mimma la kafiya lahu wa la mu'wi. Allahu Akbar. At this time now he's sleeping, he's still remembering the blessing of his food. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, well, before he goes to sleep, all praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has fed me and given me drink and has sufficed me and who has protected me and given me refuge. How many people have no one to suffice them and no one to give them refuge? He will say this before sleeping, thinking about the bounties that he had throughout the day and the blessings that one he had throughout the day and the aid and the help that he had throughout the day. And he will not just go to sleep heedless of his Lord. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah is referring to. The one who does this, and this is related to istighfar and tawheed. And tawheed, realizing these affairs and seeking Allah's forgiveness. Realizing these affairs and seeking Allah's pardon. Realizing these affairs and asking Allah to not take you to account for being short or negligent or even disobedient in regards to these blessings. This is the case here. So he says again, فَإِنَّ الْعَبِدَ لِلَّهِ وَالْعَارِفَ بِاللَّهِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ بَلْ فِي كُلِّ سَاعَةٍ بَلْ فِي كُلِّ لَحْظَةٍ يَزْدَادُ عِلْمًا بِاللَّهِ وَبَصِيرَةً فِي دِينِهِ وَعُبُودِيَتِهِ بِحَيْثُ يَجِدُ ذَلِكَ فِي طَعَامِهِ وَشَرَابِهِ وَنَوْمِهِ وَيَقَظَتِهِ وَقَوْلِهِ وَفِعْلِهِ وَيَرَى تَقْصِيرَهُ فِي حُضُورِ قَلْبِهِ فِي الْمَقَامَاتِ الْعَالِيَةِ وَإِعْطَائِهَا حَقَّهَا فَهُوَ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الْاِسْتِغْفَارِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ. So because of this realization, and he throughout his life and his day, and his food and his drink, and all of his situations, and his actions, and his statements, all of his movements, he's realizing the affair of Tawheed and the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to this, and the favor of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and realizing likewise his own deficiency of having his heart present in the high and lofty ranks of worship, for example, Salah, and he realizes the favors of Allah and realizes his deficiency and shortcomings with regard to the presence of his heart whenever he is required to be alive and to be aware of what he's saying and what he's doing. He realizes this. So therefore, he says, the human being at this time, or person, a true devout worshiper, he is in need constantly, all day and all ends of the day and the night, for istighfar, to seek forgiveness from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Rather, he says, بل هو مضطر إليه دائما في الأقوال والأحوال وفي الغوائب والشواهد في الغوائب والمشاهد. He said, rather, he is in a state of necessity with regards to seeking forgiveness in every statement, in every circumstance that he may be in the affairs of the unseen and the seen, and whenever he is alone and whenever he is in private. نعم بما فيه من المصالح وجلب الخيرات ودفع المضارات وطلب الزيادة في القوة في الأعمال القلبية والبدنية اليقينية الإيمانية. He said, Danny, this is what he is in need of at all times, whether it's a necessity for him in every statement and every situation and circumstance, whether he is alone or whether he is in public, that because of the great benefits that he has and how it will bring about much good for him. So much good will be brought about by way of seeking forgiveness, truthfully, sincerely. Seeking forgiveness, and also it will repel much harms, and it will be a means to bring about an increase in strength in the righteous actions, the actions of the heart and the actions of the body, that are the actions of faith and the actions of certainty. So this is the case here. Yani, the benefit of al-istighfar, and the reality of al-istighfar, and the need of the human being for al-istighfar, and the great sincere advice of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his companion Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to say in every prayer, Allahumma inni ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. It's very important for a believer to learn the likes of these supplications, and to ponder over them, and to reflect, to understand them, and to apply them, and to say them, and to call on Allah with them. To call on Allah with them, especially those that have come in the salah, so that the heart can be alive and present, and so that one can benefit from his salah. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. That verily the prayer, it will prohibit a person from evil and indecency. From evil and indecency. So if a person, and this is the reality of the prayer, this is what the prayer will do, the as-salah, inna as-salata, as-salah, the true prayer, the good prayer, the proper prayer, it will prohibit a person from actions of disobedience and indecency and foulness. So the one who is praying, but he still finds himself faced with these major sins and these trials of disobedience and the likes like this, then let him check his prayer and look into his prayer. Because had he been praying properly and giving the prayer its right and giving Allah his right in the prayer, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that prayer will prohibit him from that. That prayer will prohibit him from that. And this is something that a believer, he will hasten for and he will strive for. So he says now, rahimahullah, فَالشَّهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ بِصِدْقٍ وَيَقِينٍ تُذْهِبُ الشِّرْكِ كُلَّهُ تُذْهِبُ الشِّرْكَ كُلَّهُ دقه وجله خطأه وعمده أوله وآخره سره وعلانيته وتأتي على جميع صفاته وخفاياه ودقائقه. So, but he mentioned here the point that we want to take. فالشهادة أن لا إله إلا الله بصدق ويقين تذهب الشرك كله. The one who he takes the testification of faith, and the one who declares that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, truthfully and with certainty, then this will wipe out shirk, all of it. This statement here, this declaration of faith, a statement on the tongue and the belief in the heart, and the shahada is something that is stated on the tongue. This is an obligation to state it on the tongue for those who are able. And likewise, it's also stated in the heart. And in the heart, it must also say, La ilaha illallah, and believe that. And to deify Allah Azza wa Jal, and to love Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and to surrender to Him, and to believe that He's the only one who is worthy of worship. The one who states this in this manner with truthfulness and with certainty, this will wipe out shirk, all of it. He said the small of it and the great of it, that which was a mistake from it and that which was done on purpose, the first of it and the last of it, that which was private and that which is public, and that it will wipe out all of that, every attribute, every case of shirk, any that which is hidden from it, and every case. The one who makes the statement, La ilaha illallah, truthfully, with certainty, shirk will go away entirely. It wipes it out, all of it. It wipes it out, all of it. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, what is istighfar? يَمْحُو مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ أَثَرَاتِهِ وَيَمْحُو الذَّنْبَ أَلَّذِي هُوَ مِنْ شُعَبِ الشِّرْكِ. He said, in istighfar, it wipes out that which remains from the leftovers or the traces of shirk, and it wipes out the sin, which is in reality from the branches of shirk. From the branches of shirk. The sins, he says, are from the branches of shirk. فَإِنَّ الذَّنُوبَ كُلَّهَا مِنْ شُعَبِ الشِّرْكِ. Because sins, all of them, they are from the branches of shirk. They are from the branches of shirk. And where do the sins from come from? Where do the actions of disobedience stem from? From shirk. How is that? We had taken this previously. I think in the book Kabair. Ahsan, tabarakallah feek. Just last week, I think, in the book of the Kabair, we talked about this. Also in Kitab al-Tawheed. Person, he is responding to the caller, the call of the soul. The call of the soul, which is calling to disobedience, the call of the desires. Da'ya al-hawa. Da'ya al-hawa. Wa huwa shaytan. And the caller of the desires, in reality, is shaytan. So by obeying the call of the soul to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is stemming from the reality of shirk. It's not called shirk itself, but it's from the branches of shirk, from this aspect. So he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, so therefore istighfar, it wipes out that which is left from the traces of shirk. And the statement, la ilaha illallah, it erases and removes shirk in every aspect, if it's said truthfully and with certainty. And as for al-istighfar, then it wipes out that which remains from that, from the traces and the effects of the sins. Because all of the sins, they proceed from shirk. They're a branch. They're branches from the branches of a shirk. So he says, فَالتَّوْحِيدُ يُذْهِبُ أَصْلِ الشِّرْكِ وَالْاِسْتِغْفَارُ يَمْحُ فُرُوعَهُ. So tawheed, it wipes out the foundation of shirk. And al-istighfar, it wipes out and removes the branches of shirk. The branches of shirk, meaning the sins. And then he says, فَأَبْلَغُ الثَّنَاءُ قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. The greatest praise. The greatest means to praise Allah is to say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. وَأَبْلَغُ الدُّعَاءُ قَوْلُ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ. And the greatest supplication is to say, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ. فَأَمَرَهُ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَاسْتِغْفَارِ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلِإِخْوَانِهِ وَمِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He commanded the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with Tawheed, and to seek forgiveness for his own self and for his brothers from the believers. And he's referring to that verse, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. So this is the issue here of al-istighfar, and the secret to the sincere advice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the wisdom behind this issue here. How great Abu Bakr is radiallahu anhu, and his rank and his status and his knowledge and his deen and his obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised him, whenever he asked for supplication, to say, Oh Allah, I have oppressed my soul with great oppression, and no one forgives the sins except for you. So therefore, forgive me forgiveness from your grace and from your mercy, and show mercy to me. Verily, you are the most forgiving and the most merciful. So this is a great supplication, and the great manner how it came. And from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Bakr, at the request of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for supplication to say in his prayer and in his home. And the issue here is to seek forgiveness and to know your sins. Allahu Akbar. After this, the author, he says, and Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, ma salla an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'da ma unzilat alayhi idha ja'a nasrullahi wal fath illa yaqulu fiha subhanaka allahumma rabbana wa bihamdika allahumma ighfirli. وفي لفظ كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول في ركوعه وسجوده سبحانك اللهم ربنا وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. It's been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha that she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never prayed a prayer after it was revealed to him, إِذَا جَاءَ نَسْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And whenever the aid of Allah comes in the conquest, after this, he never prayed a prayer after this was revealed to him, except that he said in that prayer, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اكْفِلِي. Glorified are you, O our Lord, and we praise you. And we praise you, glorified are you, O our Lord, and with your praises, O Allah, forgive me. O Allah, forgive me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised his best friend with this affair, and he does it himself. And this is the qudwa. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example. That he advised the people to do this, and this is what he does himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is why they are considered al-mun'am alayhim. Those are the people who have the bounties and blessings of Allah because they have knowledge and application. Because they have knowledge and application. So in the previous narration, we see in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising Abu Bakr to make istighfar in this manner. And then in this narration, we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself is making istighfar. Rather, it's mentioned here that he did not pray one prayer after this was revealed to him. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And this is with regards to Fath al-Mecca. And this is in the 8th year of the Hijrah in Ramadan. And this is from the last of the Quran that was revealed. From the last of the verses. And the last of the chapters to be revealed is this chapter here. Yani Surah An-Nasr. Surah An-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. That after this was revealed, he would not pray one prayer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except for he said this, سُبْحَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. In another wording, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say a lot in his ruku' and in his sujood. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي. Oh, glorified are you, O Allah, and our Lord, with all your praises. O Allah, please forgive me. So the second wording here clarifies the place for this supplication. The place for this supplication. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ighfirli. Where is the place for this supplication? In the ruku' and in the sujood. In the ruku' and in the sujood. So a person, he will make the normal supplication and the dhikr of the ruku' and the sujood. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Three times, and then after that he will repeat this one. So much is easy for him. Yani three times or more or one time, and the likes like this. He will bring the dhikr al-mashru' and then after that he will bring the supplication likewise. And same thing in the sujood. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. After that he can say if he likes this supplication here. The supplication here. Subhanaka Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma ikfili. Allahumma ikfili. O Allah. Oh Allah, forgive me. The surah here, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. If the help of Allah comes and the fatḥ and the conquest, meaning the conquest of Mecca. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see the people entering into the deen of Allah in groups, and they're coming in groups, and not one by one, rather group after group, delegation after delegation. Whenever you see this, the conquest, and then this affair, the people accepting Islam in great masses. Then what should you do? What's the next verse? Allahu Akbar. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.